Almighty God, Heavenly Father, in your great goodness, you've granted us the privilege of entering your house and worshiping in your holy temple. Lead us, O Lord, in righteousness, even as you prepare the way before us for our spiritual well-being through the forgiveness of sins. Direct us in our worship this morning so that we grow in grace and truth to honor and praise you for the indescribable gift of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to rise, and we this morning will be following the order of worship as it's found printed in Divine Service Setting 1. Welcome in the name of our Savior Jesus on this, the last Sunday of the Epiphany season, which we'll be celebrating as Transfiguration Sunday. We pray the Spirit of the Lord will be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. to God we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. Worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high. With the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your only begotten Son, you once confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of the ancient fathers, and in the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wondrously foreshowed our adoption by grace. Therefore, mercifully make us co-heirs with our King of his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our scripture lessons is found recorded in Exodus, second book of Moses. Speaking of Moses, he records here in Exodus of how he went up on the mountain and there met with the Lord on Mount Sinai, and how his face then became luminescing with the glory of God till he came back down on the mountain to visit with the people. He had to cover it up because of the glory that was reflected to him by our all-glorious God. And he also is one of the two prophets that, as we'll see in the next lesson, that appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration centuries later. We read in Exodus, the first lesson in the 34th chapter, beginning with verse 29, "Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him." So far, the first lesson. Let's now join in reading responsively portions from Psalm 148 as printed in your service bulletin. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him, all his angels.
Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise him, all his stars in the west.
Praise the Lord from the earth. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl.
Kings of the earth and all peoples.
Both young men and maidens, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For his glory is above the earth and heaven.
Our next Bible lesson is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke. This is the evangelist Luke's account of the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain. We read there in verses 28 to 36. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen. So far, the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia. To arise as we confess together our Christian faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed, which is printed on page 4 of the liturgy pamphlet. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Sunday is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dearly beloved of God, imagine this if you can. Before God created the world and the universe and all that is in it, there was only God. Nothing else existed. But then God said, "Let there be light." And the moment He spoke those words, light came into existence. How could God do this? And later on Creation Day 4, cause lights to shine in the starry heavens, in the firmament, to give light on the earth? Answer, He could do this because He's the all-powerful God. What seems impossible to the finite mind of man, the stuff of fantasy, to the wise of the world, He can do, including the most impossible work of all works of creating a universe using no raw materials, just His Word. But wait, did I just say the most impossible of works God has ever done was creating a world saying, let there be? Let me backtrack a bit and posit for you that there's an action the Bible ascribes to our God that's even more, humanly speaking, magnificent than causing light to shine from darkness and fashioning continents and oceans and plant and animal life and then man. What could be more incredible than that? Well, that's His work of causing His salvation light to luminesce in our world in the person of His Son into the hearts of humans. Now, on this Transfiguration Sunday, the last after Epiphany, we want to consider that truth, the light of the gospel, which is still shining brightly in a world steeped in darkness, from the brilliant lamp of Holy Scripture and right on into the hearts of Christ believers. So our text is drawn from 2 Corinthians. It was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a congregation located in the Greek city of Corinth, a city, as you may remember, he came to on his second mission journey. And upon his arrival, he found there a city totally enveloped in the darkness spiritually. Its inhabitants had no concept or idea of who the true God is, no understanding of the love He'd shown for the world in sending His Son Jesus as mankind's Savior. When Paul shared the message of the gospel that Jesus is the Christ, what he got was people's insults, and they opposed him. They just couldn't fathom the wonders of God's grace, of His reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not charging their sins against them. It was like someone had taken a large, thick blanket and draped it over their hearts so that they could not see the truth about the true God and Jesus Christ, whom He had sent. In our text, Paul points out who that someone was, who was responsible for the sad state of affairs, for keeping the citizens of Corinth in the dark about Jesus. He says it was the God of this age who had blinded their minds from seeing the truth. That was a reference, of course, to none other than Satan, who is sometimes referred to as the prince of darkness, the one who tries to prevent the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ from shining on people's hearts so that they remain in unbelief's darkness. And this God, the God of this age, is still, of course, very active in the world today. Continues, does Satan to pull out all the stops in his efforts to keep people in the dark spiritually, blinding them to the glory of God's salvation light in Christ, preventing them from anchoring their hopes in their beautiful Savior, the light of their souls, whom God sent here to rescue us all from the dominion of the devil's darkness and bring us into His kingdom of light? It's the God of this age who still today causes people to treat the message of the gospel with disdain, pass it off as unimportant, and even to oppose it, just as He caused to happen back in first century Corinth. Still true what Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. But what's so amazing and wonderful, friends, is that despite the diabolical efforts of the God of this age, who does succeed in keeping many in the dark spiritually, that God still continues to cause his gospel light to shine forth brightly for the blessing of souls. He continues to reveal the glory of Christ using the lamp of Holy Scripture, which has lost none of its candle power, and it never will. As Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And the Apostle Peter, you've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And that's a truth that we love to sing about, very happy to sing about in many of our hymns. A couple examples. We have a sure prophetic word by inspiration of the Lord, and though assailed on every hand, Jehovah's word shall ever stand. Its light descending from above our gloomy world to cheer displays a Savior's boundless love, brings his glories near. 'Tis like the sun, a heavenly light that guides us all the day, and through the dangers of the night, a lamp to guide our way. Praise the Lord for this wonderful gospel lamp that he continues to use to shine forth still brightly in the world today. Proof of its power, that it is still shining bright, that it's lost none of its luminescence, candle power, is the fact that thousands upon thousands have seen the light of Christ shining forth from Holy Scripture. We who at one time also possessed hearts that were steeped in murky darkness, as dark could be, we were, as Paul writes in Ephesians, dead in trespasses and sins, in which we also once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, referring to Satan, who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But thanks to God's amazing grace in Christ, revealed to us in Scripture, whom he has shined, that he has shined into our hearts, we now enjoy the privileged status of being part of the ecclesia, the group of called out ones, members of the Holy Christian Church. As Paul writes in our text, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And here we might take a moment to recall the account we shared earlier from the Gospel of Luke of Jesus' transfiguration, which tells how the Savior led his disciples up on that high place of North Galilee, and when his face all of a sudden started to glisten like the sun, and his clothes kind of flashing like lightning, and Moses and Elijah appeared in glory talking with Jesus about his approaching death at Jerusalem. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and the voice of God the Father spoke from the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him, or listen to him. Wherever there are people who do that, who hear him, who listen to Christ, speaking from the pages of Scripture, well, that's marvelous evidence of God's gracious work in human hearts, of bringing them out of the darkness into his light. He it is who uses the bright law of God, the Ten Commandments, to enlighten the eyes of our understanding to see, first of all, the guilt of our sins, what we deserve for them from God. Every transgression we commit makes us culpable for hellfire. Every misuse of God's name, every neglect of his word, every harboring of an impure thought, or every action of lovelessness towards others, that we acknowledge this, that we say with David, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, O Lord. And if you, Lord, should mark our iniquities, who could stand? But also that you're happy for his invitation extended to you in the gospel to bring your sins to the cross, knowing he'll wash them away. That you rejoice in the gospel message. There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. With the Lord there is mercy and abundant redemption. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That you know this and find joy in that message shows that the God of heaven has made you a child of the light. Oh, the Bible, very, very beautiful light. How can we thank the Lord enough for that? How can we begin to grasp the depths of his fatherly goodness that he supplied to us in his mercy, an unlimited storehouse of mercy to which we may resort for comfort, forgiveness, an abiding hope, for inspiration to live for him and serve him all the days of our lives until that day when we will become partakers finally of that inheritance of the saints in heaven's light. And one other thought before closing today. You notice how in our text, verse 4, Paul applies to Jesus a very beautiful name or description. The Lord is the very image of God. Jesus is, Paul says. What's special about that description? Well, it's a reminder that Jesus is a mirror reflection of God. So that when we view Jesus with eyes of faith, we see God. We know what he's like in his holiness and his righteousness, in his mercy and in his compassion, that he's thinking thoughts of peace towards us and not of evil, and that he's planning for us to give us hope and a very bright future. Reminded of the episode, speaking about that, Jesus being the image of God, episode in the upper room, some of you will remember from the Passion history, where Jesus was gathered with his disciples there at Jerusalem, and he told them, if you really knew me, you would know my Father too. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And when Philip, the disciple Philip, said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us since you're leaving us, because he told them, I'm going away. Where I'm going, you can't come, not yet. So Jesus, please give us a glimpse of the Father before you go. Remember what Jesus answered? Don't you know, Philip? The person who's seen me has seen the Father. So he impressed upon the disciples and us today that all who've come to know Jesus by faith have an accurate knowledge of God. Think on that for a moment, friends. Do you know and love Jesus? Do you trust in him as your Savior? Well, then you have seen God. But again, how do we come to see him? Getting back to our thought before, he has revealed himself only one way, on the sacred pages of the Scriptures. And that's why Peter, who later wrote in his epistle, Peter, who was on the Mountain of Transfiguration that day, he said, since we have the word of the prophets made more certain, we will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place till the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. So let us then continue, friends, to make Jesus' word that brilliant lamp our daily delight. Let's hear and learn it gladly. Let's use it, as the psalmist says, as a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Let's rejoice and sing gladly as we continue our trek as pilgrims along life's path. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun, And in that light of life, I'll walk till traveling days are done. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
Please rise for prayer. O Lord God, whose ways are mercy and truth to all who come before you with a broken and contrite heart, let your peace fall upon all who have come this day into your house to offer to you the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Because of your mercy in Christ, pardon our iniquity. Do not remember the sins of our youth, but in your great mercy, look upon our desperate need and forgive us. Restore our souls, lead us into your truth. Teach us your way, be gracious to us, and bring us safely out of all our distresses. Dear Lord, bring divine light to our souls, that we and all people may see in you all the treasures of heavenly wisdom and knowledge. Teach us to pray, and give us such a measure of faith that we may put our full trust in your power, goodness, and love. O Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, enlighten our understanding of God's word, teach us of the great love with which Christ has loved us, and guide us so that we may walk in his light, honoring our Lord with all our thoughts, words, and deeds. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whom we live and move and have our being, bless this house that it may be continually a place where your honor dwells, your name praised, and your truth proclaimed. Bless our homes, that they may be rooted and grounded in love and every good work. Help all those among us who may be enduring any affliction, trial, or adversity, and reveal the exceeding greatness of your power to all who believe. O Lord, grant your almighty aid to the hungry, the homeless, the stranger, the oppressed, the orphan, and the imprisoned everywhere. Move your believers to go forth to the nations, preaching the gospel of Christ crucified with courage and boldness from your Holy Spirit, and showing forth works of love and compassion for your glory. Now to him who has redeemed us, whose teaching we confess, and whom we shall one day see face to face, even to Jesus Christ, be honor and glory forever. Amen. We also join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing hymn 622, stanzas 1 through 6. Please stand. Our liturgy continues towards the bottom of page 6. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We
lift them up to the Lord. It is right and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored. Sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lamb of God, O Christ our Lord, whose blood once shed, part your joy, our faith increase, sustain with your mercy, and grant us your
Our communicants may come forward as the usher directs. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Please stand. Our liturgy continues on page 8 with the Nunc Dimittis.
Now let your servant depart in heavenly peace. I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace.
Go in peace, serve the Lord with gladness.
My heart has now with your dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity. With angels I your praises telling, shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may your body and your your blood before my soul the highest good.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.